Local with Monica Jay on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I'm so glad you're with me today. It is Thursday, and we got a little bit of gloom, a little bit of haze coming through out there. But you know what? We are going to cut through, and we're going to make it a great day anyway, because you are getting informed. And we got a lot of things to talk about today. Oh my gosh, the special assessment district that the city of Reno is going to be talking about on the 26th. And I want to make sure that you get a chance to get your comments into the city, because this is going to be a big one. This is going to be a special assessment district that we're going to be talking about 11 o'clock with Jeff Church, who is on top of it when we talk about everything that has to do with taxes with the city of Reno. RenoTaxRevolt.com. And I tell you, this is crazy. This is all for roads, all for streets that I'm looking at. And it's like, why do we have to have a special assessment district to fix these streets? Isn't this something that we already pay into? Aren't your taxes supposed to pay for streets and street repairs? And wow. So you need to know about this one, because it's a doozy. Also, at around 10:30 today, we're going to get an update on just an incredibly funny, disturbing, tell-it-like-it-is debate last night between the Democrats. Jessica Rosenthal from Fox News Radio is going to join us. And wow, I want to get her take from listening to it, because all I saw was a bunch of wackos. Actually, I just say it like that, just a bunch of wackos. And I am not alone in my assessment. We'll read a couple of emails as well. And your emails, always so appreciated. Monica at 991fmtalk.com. There's too many things for one person to follow. Everything in Washoe County and the city of Reno and Sparks and Douglas and Churchill and Story. So I am more than grateful for your emails highlighting certain things that I know people want to talk about, like the lands bill that has been resurrected. And the reason that I say resurrected is because this is not the first time that something like this has, well, been attempted, you know, and each time people come out against it. But as we get more, I don't want to say it, developer friendly, when we have commissions or councils that are developer friendly, and we want to create that urban sprawl, well, they bring these things back because Congress has to be involved. So Jeannie Herman, Commissioner Herman, is going to join us in a little bit to talk about this. And, of course, it's been revised. But like I say, it's got to go through Congress to get us more land. What happens with more land? More development. 884-9910, if you've got a comment on the lands bill. And, of course, like I said, Monica at 991fmtalk.com if you want to remain a little bit more anonymous. But think about it. Think long and hard about it. Because elected representatives will always say, we need more money. We need growth. We need those taxes coming in. If we are going to keep what we have. But at one point, or at what point do we say, wait a minute, this isn't what we signed up for. This isn't the Nevada, the Northern Nevada that I wanted to live in. You know, if you want to live in an area like that, move to Vegas, baby. Move to Vegas. So let's go to the phone lines because we have Commissioner Herman joining us this morning. Thank you so much, Jeannie, for calling in and giving your point on the lands bill. How is everything going this morning so far?
Well, I'm down in the cow pasture right now because that's where I get the best reception on my phone. So I'm doing very well this morning. It's a beautiful morning.
So, Jeannie, tell me, how did or why do you think the lands bill is coming up again? Because it seems like every 2 or 3 years it pops up and it's gotten rid of because people are so against it.
Well, I don't know. It seems like a political football, you know. It just keeps coming back and to haunt us. And there are so many better ways that we could get the job done without destroying all of District 5, basically. And
which actually is your district as well.
It is. It's the best district in this county. And it's the biggest one. It's 89% of the county. And it has the most wonderful people. I am so blessed. So,
Commissioner, what does this lands bill look to do?
Well, the initial intent of it, I know, is to gain land for developers to develop and, you know, build homes and supply that for people. But it's also, when the politicians get involved in it, we end up with a bill that does some disastrous things. I don't believe it has to be that way. I know there are other ways to handle it. And we've tried other ways before, and they can be successful without destroying the beauty and the accessibility of the multiple use lands, and they're mostly in District 5. So multiple lands is the way to go. I mean, wilderness, you shut the land off and it becomes dead again.
Mm-hmm. Because we have to go through Congress to get these lands released to us, just, you know, for this growth. Shouldn't we be more worried about the infrastructure that we already have that isn't being repaired and the land that's already available for sale here?
You have got the right look at it, because I don't think we've been very responsible in how we've been dealing with this growth. We've encouraged growth, but we haven't provided any infrastructure. And so then we end up with Swan Lake. That situation from 2 years ago, or 3 years ago.
And we also end up with a situation of a mayor trying to get, you know, immediate plans pushed through and developers on board. So she puts the fees on hold for the sewer maintenance.
Right. And, you know, somebody's going to have to pay for it. And it looks like so far Lemon Valley's had to pay for it. It seems like District 5 ends up with paying all the bills for the mistakes of the county. You know, we don't plan. We have a regional plan we just came up with after 10 years, but we're not following it.
They already want to make amendments.
Yeah, the annexation that Reno is able to get and produce land for developers to build on, it has its cost, you know. We end up with people in dire situations because of our mistakes that we have made. So we need to go back to the legislature and get a little bit more control over our annexation situation, making sure that the ground is where you're developing has infrastructure and that it actually is accessible to the city of Reno or city of Sparks, whatever. We really need to do a lot more planning.
Commissioner Herman, that's for every county around us because the same issues come up in Douglas and Churchill, and it's almost against the will of the people that call this area home. Tonight there's going to be a meeting about the lands bill. Can people come and really sway opinions at something like this?
I would love to see that building just be full of people that are speaking from the heart. They're using their voice to express their displeasure or pleasure, those that aren't going to be able to speak positively or negatively. And I would just love to see a lot of folks there. Don't give up on this. I think we can find a better way to get development land for our community.
What time? 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock and goes till 7.
At the Washoe County Commissioners Building?
No, this is at the Convention Center down on Virginia, across from the Atlantis. And there's usually lots of parking. It'll be at the south end of the building. And so that's where I would want to park a little closer.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to walk that whole thing to get to the meeting.
That's for sure. Right.
So, 4 to 7 tonight at the Convention Center, if you want to voice your concerns or your positivity for the lands bill. But this is a biggie for all of us here in Northern Nevada to see what we want from the area that we live in.
Oh, gosh, yeah. This is going to affect so many people if it goes through. And we've got people from recreational people, you know, that and hunters and wildlife people that are really concerned about shutting off all these areas in the county. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not just from the environmental groups. It's from, I mean, think of all the more development means more congestion, more air pollution, more.
Right. And there is another way to get this job done, and that is, and this would be to get the rules changed in Congress, and that would allow us to go ahead and, you know, choose development land without having to give up all the land to wilderness, because that's a death knell for wildlife up there.
Have you been in contact with Congressman Amadei about this?
Definitely. Yes. Yes, ma'am. So.
And is that a good thing? Or?
It is a good thing. Yes. Yeah. He's working on something with us right now that we might be able to make work. So
that's
I can't
fantastic.
Give you more information than that, but we are working on that.
All right, that's perfect. So tonight at the Reno Sparks Convention Center, the south end of the building, 4 to 7 tonight. How do you feel about the lands bill? Come on out and voice your opinion, because that's what it's all about, getting your voice heard. Commissioner Herman, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And you can come on out of the pasture and back into the house now.
Thank you very much for putting this on the air. It's so important to the people of my district, especially.
It's important to all of us. Thank you so much for all you do, Commissioner Herman.
Thank you.
Have a great day. This is just another one of those things that even though it's in District 5, it affects everybody. It's what do you want to see for our area? You know, you can automatically see all of the building. I mean, just take a drive north on 395. Just take a drive, look over to the right, and you can see all of the things that, or all of the developments that are popping up. And what do you see as you drive around? Two-lane roads. All of this building, and you just see two-lane roads. Congestion, wait times, frustrations from residents. You get so many people crammed into an area, and you don't give them the necessary infrastructure to be able to pass people, to be able to turn, you know, into your development and not back up traffic for 2 miles. I think what Commissioner Herman said, one of the most important things, I will reiterate right after we come back from this quick break on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Nevada's news. Talk about it here. Call 884-9910. 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT. KKFT.
It's the Monica J. Show. It's your show. For local issues, well, we throw some national in there, how it affects you. Like the debate last night. Yeah, that is going to affect you if one of these dolts get into office. So, and already thinking that, what is it, three of them are in office and one of them's been in office. It's just crazy. So thank you again to Commissioner Herman for joining me today, because a lot of times elected representatives don't want to speak out on different subjects because, well, then they start getting calls from the opposition and nobody wants to deal with that. So I just received this email from Leah. Leah, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. I'm still learning about all that's going on in Reno, though I've lived here for a long time. I found out that I'm paying too much attention to national politics and not enough to our local goings-on. You mentioned taxes this morning and talking about the lands bill. Will this bill include a stipulation, or whatever the wording is, for schools? So the schools are paid for as more families move into the area and more schools have to be built. And where are all these taxes from marijuana sales going? On another note, another Damani Ranch High School student died over the weekend. What the heck is going on over there? It broke my heart to hear about it. I just started crying as I was driving to work. My heart hurts for our children. Where are these parents? What are the school administrators doing to address an obvious drug problem at Damani Ranch and other schools in the Washoe County School District? Thank you for your time, and thank you for all you do in keeping us informed. Aloha, Leah. First off, Leah, let me address the taxes. As Commissioner Herman put it, when we look at the lands bill, when we look at the growth, when we look at schools, when we look at what developers are supposed to be paying for when they start out, but in the long run they don't, somebody has to pay for it. And that somebody is always you and me. Somebody. It's always somebody. It's not them. It's us. The only way that we can fix that problem is to hold the elected representatives accountable, whether it be through election, whether it be showing up at meetings, whether it be flooding their voicemail or their emails with your opinions. Because you're not the only one that's guilty of this, Leah. Me too. Everybody, I think we get so inundated with the media and what is going on nationally. You know, the ridiculous things of impeachment and name calling. It's just crazy. But what's going on in Washington, the draining of the swamp, the finding out about the deals being made, that all starts here at home first. It all starts on the local level first. And that's how these people get elected into office, is because we don't pay attention to what's going on locally. Stick around. We're going to have a little bit on the debate last night, get some expert opinions, since it happened right here in the beautiful state of Nevada, while a Trump rally is going on. Gotta love it. And then 11 o'clock, please make sure you join me or go to the podcast later on today and listen to Jeff Church, RenoTaxRevolt.com. We're going to be talking about this big special assessment district that the Reno City Council is going to be looking at on February 26th at their meeting. All for those roads, all for the streets that, yeah, I thought our taxes already paid for. Guess I'm confused. We'll be back with more and talking about Damani Ranch High School after this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk. 99.1.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I'm so glad you're with me today. It's live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. 884-9910, whatever you'd like to talk about, give us a call. That's what we're here for. Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Why are we seeing so many deaths of our young people? Does anybody really know? This is a growing problem. I'm not a child psychologist. I can't say none of us are, because there might be a child psychologist listening. But this is a very strange time for kids. Kids can't be kids. Teenagers can't be teenagers. The left attacks them. This is wrong. You need to do this. You can't feel this way. You're supposed to be little robots. We give them apps. We talk about, oh, the world, and not about them. K through 12 used to be a place where you learned to be a better person, to go off into the world, to understand our history, to embrace our history. And things are changing for them, and not for the better. You know, talking about the debate last night between the presidential candidates, this is nothing new. Avoiding issues and doing name calling. But I want you to think about this one thing. China. How any of those people, those presidential candidates, would deal with China. Three deaths. We have three deaths in, what, a week? President Trump was villainized from the beginning because he said he was going to take on China, and he did. and he has started the process of changing things. And when you look at the fentanyl, you think of the poisonous. Does anybody remember melanin when that toxic agent was being flooded in from China? I did not see one person on that stage last night who would have taken on China for the benefit of the American people. Let's get a real update on the debate last night, on the debate stage, because so far, one of the emails that I got this morning from John says, I'm 52 minutes into it, and it sounds like the dinner table conversation at an insane asylum. So, John, thank you for that assessment. But let's go to Jessica Rosenthal from Fox News Radio this morning and get a recap of the highlights last night from the Democrat debate in Las Vegas. Jessica, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I guess the recap is really it was Mike Bloomberg's night. Everybody was anticipating he would get a lot of heat, and he certainly did. Heading into the debate, Elizabeth Warren had tweeted, if you want to see how we're all going to address and how we're all going to handle Donald Trump, you can watch tonight how we handle this egomaniac billionaire. So we kind of knew that going in, the punches were not going to be pulled. And right out of the gate, Elizabeth Warren, who had a very sharp-edged evening, really went after Bloomberg right out of the gate and talked about stop and frisk and that policy in New York, and mentioned some of his comments that he's made apparently about women. And later in the debate, she called him out and asked if he would release women from non-disclosure agreements who have filed legal claims against him or his company. She really pressed him on that and wouldn't let it go. And Bloomberg eventually said, look, no, I'm not going to. Those are illegal agreements that people made. I'm not going to get involved in that. But he said, if anybody's had a problem with me, it's only because of maybe an off-color joke I've told. And the audience kind of groaned at that. Bloomberg, really tried to defend himself. The moderators went to him and said, please talk about stop and frisk, you know. And he reminded everybody, he's like, I've apologized multiple times for this, but let me explain what was going on. As I came in as mayor, I was dealing with, 650 murders a year. And, my first priority was to save lives. And I went with a policy that really all big city mayors were doing at the time. Elizabeth Warren, once again, finds that explanation to be sufficient. And really the whole night was centered either around the perceived frontrunners of Mike Bloomberg or Bernie Sanders. We know Pete Buttigieg went after Bernie Sanders for his relationship with the union here, for example, in Nevada over his Medicare for All plan, and how some of Bernie Sanders' supposed supporters went after the culinary union here after they said that Bernie Sanders' medical plan would end their union health care. And, Bernie said, I disown those people. I disown the people that attacked the culinary union staff. But Pete Buttigieg wouldn't let that go and said, well, what does this say about leadership and your campaign that you seem to have such divisive supporters and followers? Sanders wouldn't hear any of it and just said, listen, my own women of color on my own campaign staff are subjected to, a lot of harshness. So it's all over the place. We need to address internet culture in general.
So was there, who was the big winner of the night?
I don't know if I could characterize a winner. I could say, Elizabeth Warren was certainly getting a lot of press after this debate. Her campaign said that after the first hour of the debate, she had the best hour of fundraising she's ever had. So clearly her sharp-edged attacks were going over well with some members of the party. I would say also Pete Buttigieg sort of rode her coattails pretty well and stayed out of the attack mode, at least when it came to all of the candidates. He and Amy Klobuchar kind of got into it. But Pete sort of positioned himself as, do you not like the socialist who is trying to burn the party down or the billionaire who's trying to buy the party out? If not, come join me. I'm Pete. He kind of played that moderate card of I'm for the rest of the party. And he actually point blank said, why don't we nominate an actual Democrat? And that got some laughs from the audience.
That is pretty funny, because that's why the Democrat walkaway has been so strong and flipping to the Republican Party, because they don't feel a part of the Democrat Party anymore.
Some people in the walkaway movement, have definitely walked away from the Democratic Party. I don't know if they've all become Republicans. I think many of them have become, declined to state party, members or independents.
Yeah.
And we see that trend really happening. We see a far more independent or no party preference voters in California. When I was in New Hampshire and Iowa earlier this month, both of those states, their no party preference voter block outweighs both Republicans and Democrats. So I think you see a lot of people try and avoid either party as they see extremes, and just try and, find the person or the issue that speaks to them rather than identifying with a party.
We might actually see a third major party develop after all that's been going on for the last few years. So how many more debates can we look forward to before it's whittled down to before the convention?
Oh, that's a good question. I actually don't know the exact number. I know this was the ninth debate. I know South Carolina is having a debate next week. And then right after South Carolina caucuses, it's Super Tuesday. I don't know about the debate schedule in March. I'm sure there is one. I think there's a total of 12 or 13. Don't quote me on that, even though we're on the radio. I think there's like 12 or 13 debates total. But I'd have to look that up. But, yeah, there are definitely more debates coming. So I think a lot of us are anxious to see, what does Bloomberg pull away from last night, and how does he pivot, and how does he maybe toughen up? I know when I was on the spin room floor, some of the questions for Bloomberg surrogate were, hey, is your candidate going to start taking more media interviews? Because Bloomberg avoids one-on-ones. He doesn't do the Sunday talk shows, which we all religiously watch. And it seems like Bloomberg hasn't been really vetted other than posting a lot on social media and buying ads. So,
yeah.
I think after last night, his campaign will agree. Maybe he needs a little bit more toughening, and will start to do more media interviews before the next debate.
I don't know if it would be more toughening as more becoming real with the American voter, because he just looks, when he's in public, he just looks so uncomfortable.
Well, that's the joke about Bloomberg, really, for those of us on the West Coast. I know I'm in California and you guys are in Nevada, but people who followed Bloomberg and know his career will tell you he is not a retail politicker. He is not a campaigner. He doesn't have that warm, fuzzy feeling, and that's never been his thing. He's a data guy. He's dry, droll, witty. He's got a wicked sense of humor, but it doesn't translate into, let's hug, let's shake hands. But, for all the flack that the media gets for just being the media, there is something to say about putting yourself through the ringer of going on with all of the Margaret Brennans and the Chuck Todds and the Chris Wallaces and, mm-hmm. and having it out, allowing yourself to be questioned and vetted. And I think there's something of value to that, even if you can't stand the media. At least you can listen to a candidate like Bloomberg, have it out and answer those questions.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jessica Rosenthal, thank you so much for joining us today and the update and the recap of last night. We appreciate your time, and we will talk again, hopefully.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. All right, Jessica Rosenthal from Fox News Radio, so much to glean. I know people weren't really crazy about watching the Democrat debate or listening to it, but that's the information that you have to take away. Everybody talks about attacking Trump and just getting Trump out of office. Why? What has he done except improve the economy, get people back to work, get people off of food stamps, and fight for the American citizen against China, against Iran, against these ideals that we're second-class citizens. Let them attack each other. It's not going to change my opinion. We'll be back with more of your opinions and comments, 884-9910, right here on your live and local FM talk stations, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Not really crazy, just forward. Speak my mind. That's what you need to do, too. 884-9910, right here on the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I want to draw something from Leah's email that she sent me earlier this morning, and that was, my heart hurts for our children. Where are these parents? What are these school administrators doing to address an obvious drug problem? How about any of the problems? You know, the largest school district, you have to ask yourself, what is the problem here? Our largest school district in the state of Nevada is Clark County. It's huge. Huge. The superintendent down there, at least under 2018 statistics here for Clark County, William Skorosky, I don't know how they say that, I don't care. Total pay and benefits, $363,000 plus. Washoe County School District Superintendent, the last one, over $400,000. Well over $400,000. For a smaller school district and lots of deputy superintendents. Making a whole lot of money in their benefits. So yesterday was the State of Education address. And rather than actually talking about the state of education, the interim superintendent, McNeil, And this is just hours, okay? Just hours after hearing about another student that died by suicide. Just weeks after two others did. Well, started the evening off by taking a tour of a new school. Really? That's how you kick something like this off? Unserious people doing a serious job, getting paid serious money. And all we're seeing are kids who are graduating unable to go right into college. They have to go into college and take remedial classes or go into a junior college because they can't get accepted. We put way too much money into the administration and into higher education. When our fulfillment of educating the children of the United States of America should be K through 12. But we're concerned about K through 12 teaching the SHARE program, making sure that they know everything about Planned Parenthood, their options to get an abortion without telling their parents. The list goes on and on. And until people start showing up at the school board meetings, voicing their concerns, and really holding people accountable, I don't know if Interim McNeil wants the job, but who wouldn't want a job that pays that much money and has that much in benefits that you really don't have to do anything? Our kids need us. And either we get involved, or I make a plea once again to the parents to homeschool your kids. Make the sacrifice for your child's future.